Anorexia is a prevalent eating disorder. It is often done by people who have a desire to stay thin or even skinny. And so what they will do in order to make sure that their physical appearance is kept up with is avoid eating often that which is nutritional. They have to ignore their body's cravings for food in order to satisfy a look that they want to maintain. Giving up often what is healthy in favor of what looks good. There is a disease called spiritual anorexia, where Christians starve themselves of necessary spiritual nutrition because they want to keep looking good to the world. In a desire to stay attractive to everybody else, they often avoid food necessary for the building up of a soul and for quality spiritual health. What food is to the body, the word of God is to the soul. If the body does not take in the right food at the right intervals, instead of growing and being healthier, it shrinks and can become unhealthy. Similarly, when a believer is not being fed right, it can lead to spiritual emaciation and can lead to that which is deleterious to their well-being. The issue that we face today is, how does the new nature eat so that the new life is vibrant and healthy? Today, in our next part of the series on spiritual growth, I want to talk about Scripture, the Word of God, which is the food for your spiritual development. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, in a very short statement, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Let me read it again. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to your salvation. Here the Apostle Peter says, if you want to grow, you got to eat. If you want to grow, you must eat. Unfortunately today, many Christians are starving. This statement, this verse, is pregnant with truth that is absolutely critical for your spiritual development. First of all, let's look at the passion involved. He says, like a newborn baby, long for the milk. Don't just want to eat. He says, want to eat like a newborn baby. We're not talking snack time here. He says the same passion that a brand new baby fresh out of the mother's womb has for milk is the same passion that a believer is to have for the milk of the word. Babies don't need a commandment to know that they need to eat. Babies eat because that's their passion at birth. When you became a Christian, you received a new nature. We've already studied that, a new disposition and a new capacity. And that capacity, the new nature, is hungry. And the only thing it will munch on is the word. Your new nature has been so designed so that just like a body demands food in order to satisfy physical hunger, the new nature demands the word in order to satisfy spiritual hunger. He says, I want you to long for it. I want you to desire it. I want you to want it like a newborn baby. When a baby is newborn, the baby does not make milk requests. They make milk demands. It is irrelevant to a newborn baby how tired mama is. It is irrelevant to a newborn baby how long mama been up all day. It is irrelevant to a newborn baby the fact that it's 3 o'clock in the morning and mama got to get up early. All of that is irrelevant to a newborn baby. Because what a newborn baby wants is milk. And it will wear that environment out until somebody gets up. You gonna feed me, and you gonna quit before I do. Because they are longing for milk. They are longing for that life source to feed the new life that they have now received. Like a newborn baby, desire the sincere milk of the word. The word sincere means pure, undiluted. It means give me the real stuff. Don't give me fake milk, leftover milk. Give me the real stuff. God has so worked the birth process that at the time of birth, the milk flows. Isn't that marvelous? How God has worked it out in the life of a female that when the baby is born, a signal is sent within the body that the milk is time to flow. That is a divinely orchestrated synergy. When you received your new nature, God worked it out so that that nature would crave the word of God. And he says, like a newborn baby, don't stop till you get it. Now, the reason why many aren't growing is because they do not desire the undiluted milk of the word. They are satisfied with pacifiers. When a newborn baby really desires milk, it is going to disturb everything until it gets it. Like a newborn baby. God says, I want you to want the milk of the word because that's the only thing your new nature eats. It is the only thing it will partake. It won't eat other stuff. Newborn babies can't eat pacifiers. Newborn babies can't eat crackers. Newborn babies can't eat meat. All newborn babies can do is drink milk. And since that's the only thing that they can handle, they will not be satisfied until they get to it. It is that passion that God is saying he wants the new nature to be able to receive, where you are crying out for the milk of the word of God. Now, I'll tell you what that is in a moment. Just as our physical bodies are nourished with physical food, we spiritually are to be nourished with the Word of God. But the problem is that that is not the desire that most folk have. Some folks are not growing because they are satisfied with milk substitutes. Now, apples are nourishing. Apples are fruit. They're good for the digestive system, and so we're encouraged to eat an apple. But once you dip apple in candy, see, the reason you dip it in the candy is to put some sugar on it. Once you dip apple in candy, you now have sugar, fat, excess caloric intake. You have turned that apple into something else because you want sugar. You have to understand, watch this now, you have canceled out the nutrition of the apple by putting it in stuff it was never meant to have fellowship with. You have illegitimized the benefit of the apple because you have now placed it in an environment that counteracts what the apple was designed to do. He says, I want you to desire the pure milk of the word. Don't get tricked or sucked into just looking for sugar ministry or sugar sermons or sugar Bible studies or feel good information. Don't get tricked into accepting stuff that is not pure milk, that is authentic milk. Leave the powder stuff alone. Get the stuff that was naturally provided. So some don't get the benefit because they settle for sugar substitutes. Others don't get the benefit because they don't understand how newborn babies desire. You don't see newborn babies drinking all the milk they can on Sunday. So they don't have to worry about it all week long. Last time I checked, and it has been a while, newborn babies mess with you every 3 to 4 hours. Every 3 or 4 hours, the baby wants to eat. Baby gets up because its stomach says, we need something, and we need something now. And it eats regularly because a newborn baby understands that you can't store it and expect it to be there days later. Some folk think, as long as I eat well in church on Sunday, Pastor, as long as you cook a good sermon on Sunday, I can make it till next Sunday. Don't no newborn baby think like that. Let's say you go out to eat. A lot of people go out to eat on Sunday. You order 2 appetizers, 2 entrees, and 2 desserts. You ask, why are you eating so much? Your answer is, because I'm not eating again until next Sunday. What you have to understand is that as a newborn baby, your capacity is limited. And while you may think that eating a lot is solving the problem, it's not, because your body can only use so much. After a while, it throws it away as waste because it can only handle so much. He says, like a newborn baby who's regularly screaming for some milk. He says, you are to regularly scream, holler out, long for, whine for, cry for the word of God. Now, why does a newborn baby desire food? Simply, it's hungry. It wants food for one reason alone. It's hungry. So then why aren't we on eating? We're not hungry. Or, I hear the better one, we're hungry but don't know it. Say, how can you be hungry and don't know it? Because you've been spending so much time eating junk food that you think you are full when actually all you've done is dine on empty calories, but it's camouflage, the real need. He says, I want you to hunger for the sincere milk of the word. Psalm 19 verses 10 to 12 says, desire the word more than gold. So he says there's to be a passion for the pure milk, not the saccharine substitutes. That raises a question then. What's milk? What is milk? Because if I'm to desire milk, I need to know what milk is that I'm supposed to be desiring in order to desire the right thing. Please notice what he doesn't tell you to desire. He doesn't tell you to desire meat. There's a distinction in the Bible between the milk of the word and the meat of the word. Those two are distinguished in the Bible. Turn with me, flip a few pages back to Hebrews chapter 5, and let's help you understand milk, this milk you're supposed to be after. These were Christians who had been saved for 30 years in the book of Hebrews, many of them. The author is getting into some deep truth here. He says in verse 11 of chapter 5 of Hebrews, concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. The word dull of hearing is from a Greek word that means mule-headed. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food or meat. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. He says that you folks have been saved for 30 years and still only can handle milk. He says milk is for babies. Now, there is nobody I know who condemns a 1, 2, 3, 4-month-old baby for just wanting milk. It's appropriate to the age. But now when you're 30 years old and still only taking milk, you're sick. We don't say that about a baby because that's true to a baby. We expect that. If a baby came out talking about where my steak and potatoes, we know we'd have a problem because they're not built to receive that. You know the only way you graduate to steak and potatoes? Growth. Growth has to occur for you to move from milk to what he calls solid food or meat. At a baby stage, you need milk. What then is milk? He tells you. He says in verse 12, they are the elementary principles of the oracles of God. That's milk. Now, what does that mean? Here it is. Milk is the foundational biblical truths. It is the foundational biblical truths of the Christian faith that has been communicated to the mind. They are the foundational Christian truths of the faith that are communicated to the mind. Milk is understanding basic biblical truth. Let me say that again. Milk are the elementary principles. Or let's give an illustration. Milk is elementary school. Elementary principles, elementary schools. Now, what's the first thing you're going to learn in elementary school? You're going to learn A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S. You know, I better stop there. You're going to learn the alphabet. Now, the goal of the alphabet is not the alphabet. The goal of the alphabet is learning to construct words based on phonetic layouts of specific alphabets in relationship to one another in order to construct words that can link into clauses, that can turn into sentences so that you can communicate properly. That's the only reason to learn an alphabet. You don't see folk going around talking about, I know A like you know A, we all know A, because that's not the point of the alphabet. The point of the alphabet is the construction, pronunciation, and understanding of words. You do not get to the place of speaking properly, reading properly, and interacting properly unless you go to elementary school and get the elementary principles of the 26 letters of the English alphabet. Skip the alphabet and you can skip interacting on a mature level, because you won't be able to talk right, speak right, read right, interact right, because you don't have the elementary principles laid down. The milk of the word are the ABCs upon which the meat of the word is built on. So if you can't read right, talk right, because you haven't learned the ABCs in elementary school, watch it now, you can't graduate to spiritual meat, because it doesn't have a foundation to rest on unless you've been established in the milk. The milk refers to the fundamental precept and concept of the Christian faith that the meat is built on. But what you want to get to is the meat. That's what you want to get to. It's okay to start with the milk for the first few months. The problem is we've got folk who want to live like meat when they haven't started with milk. So it's not resting on anything. Well, if that's the milk, what's the meat that I'm trying to get to, because I've been developed in the milk? Okay? So I start off with the milk like a newborn babe, but I'm graduating to meat. He tells you what the meat is. He says, for verse 14, solid food, meat, is for the mature who, because of practice, watch this, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Well, here's meat. Meat is your ability to take the truth that you've learned in your mind that you may be able to repeat and pass a test on and anything else, but to turn it into the ability to live life and make decisions from a spiritual perspective. That's meat. Meat is not passing a Bible quiz. Meat is not going to seminary. Meat is not graduating from Bible college. Meat is not being able to quote more verses than your neighbor. Meat is not being able to memorize more passages than somebody else. Meat is not being able to listen to sermons all day long. Meat is when the foundation of milk has been laid so strong that when you walk out of this building and have to make decisions, choices, need to hear from God, need to understand the spiritual phenomenon that you're going through, your senses, your inner man has been trained to pick up on the heavenly channel. If you don't have cable, let me use that as an analogy, we'll call you a basic Christian. You are CBS, ABC, NBC, Fox Network saint. Throw in UPN maybe, but that's basically who you are. But now if you have cable, well, that's ESPN, that's CNN, that's USA, that's TNT. That's a whole slew. You know why? Because now folk who have cable are linked into a satellite system. They can pick up on a signal that basic folk can't get to. All basic folks see is fuzz. The channel is unclear. They can do basic stuff, but they can't get in on stuff that's only available by satellite. Because you got to be connected to get in on that. Now, make sure you understand me. If you don't have basic, you can't get cable. Because that means you don't even have a TV if you don't have basic. You got to have a TV in order to have basic, which allows you to bring in cable, because now there's something to hook it up to. But trust me, having basic Christianity and having cable Christianity The difference is day and night, because one can pick up on stuff that other folk can never see. That's the difference between milk and meat. Milk is the basic. It gives you the foundation. In fact, you can milk yourself to death and still not be productive, because the goal of milk is meat. The goal of milk is not milk. So to say you come in every Sunday and you hear the word of God and you like what you hear could be a perpetual, ongoing, in perpetuity reference to milk, which is okay if you're a newborn. But you've been in this house for 5 years. We should be seeing more than milk, because milk has to do with the mind. Meat has to do with the senses. Milk has to do with what you know and can regurgitate. Meat has to do with being able to pick up on the spiritual realm that you can't see. And until you make that jump, you have not matured in the faith. So, the Bible says, the natural man receives not the things of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, for their foolishness unto him, he can't understand it. But he says, the spiritual man appraises all things, because he has the mind of Christ. He has the ability to pick up on stuff. Not to move from milk to meat is to be stagnant. It's to stay where you are. First of all, you have to say, okay, I'm going to desire the milk. I'm making a conscious decision to feed the new man, and I just need to know what I need to learn so that I can have the basics in my mind. But I want to get to meat, because I want to mature. I want to grow. I want to graduate. Let me tell you what the Bible says about the Bible. Hebrews 4:12, this is what it says. It says, the word of God is alive, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It says, piercing in to be able to divide, watch this, soul and spirit. That's a deep verse. It says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, you know what a two-edged sword is? It's sharp on both sides, which means it's thin and it will cut you coming and going. All right? He says that's what the word of God is. It's sharp. He says the word of God is so sharp. He says, let me tell you how sharp. Let me tell you how razor paper thin the word of God is. If allowed to get inside you, he says it will divide soul and spirit. Now, that is a division that is infinitesimal in nature. See, I can say infinitesimal because I learned my ABCs. It is infinitesimal in nature. The soul is your personality. That's who you are that makes you different than everybody else. It's your personality. Your spirit refers to the new nature, or the God disposition that was placed in you at the point of conversion. But don't you know the problems we get into sometimes? We don't know what's us and what's God, because they get all messed up sometimes, and we can't sort it out. He says the word of God is so alive and it's so sharp, it will show you what's you and what's not you. It will get down to the joints and the marrow. In other words, the stuff that you can't separate, it will separate. That's how sharp a knife it is. You touch it, it's sliced. It says when this word is so alive that when it gets down in you, it will totally separate. So the question is, okay, I'm willing to learn and get my mind clear on the basic truths of the word. I'm going to desire that. I'm going to go after that. But I want to get to meat. But you just said that I can't get from milk to meat simply by information, because information alone won't take me there. How do I use milk to get to meat? So that I now have spiritual cable and can tune in on the heavenly network. Remember where we started this series? 2 Peter 3:18? Let me read that to you again. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and unto the day of eternity. The way you grow from milk to meat is using the word to cultivate a relationship, not merely to gain information. Let me say that again. The way you grow I'm assuming you want milk. You're going to desire milk. You're going to learn the basic truths of Scripture. But the way you use that basic truth to get to become spiritually mature is that you make the goal of learning spiritual truth growth in a relationship with a person, not merely information about them. When you stop feeding on the Word of God relationally, you stop tasting grace. Grace is what God wants to give you. It's what God is free to give you. It's all the goodness of God just lavished on you. Do you know? Watch this now. A baby doesn't have to worry about growing if it's eating right. A baby doesn't say, oh, I hope I'm longer today than I was yesterday. No, all the baby's got to do is eat the right stuff at the right intervals, and growth is automatic. It doesn't have to try to grow. It just has to eat right, and it will grow. But watch this now. God has so constructed a baby that the best way for it to grow is to take its food right from the breast of its mother. In other words, the baby eats nourishing milk. But watch this. The baby eats it relationally. The mother takes the baby to her chest in the most natural way that God created it. Yes, our technology has allowed other ways, but in the most natural way that God has done it, he's worked it out so a baby gets what they fundamentally need, but not out of relationship. They're cuddled close while they get what they need. In other words, while they're drinking, they're being loved on. While they're drinking, they're being hugged. While they're drinking, they're being rocked. In other words, while they're feeding on milk, they're falling in love. All that's happening at the same time because the milk is tied to the relationship. The milk is tied to the relationship. And he says, grow in grace of what God supplies. That's the milk in the knowledge of a person. I know some folk, watch this now, who fall in love over the internet. Now that seems a little strange to me, but I've talked to people who have fallen in love with folk they've never seen. Don't know what they look like, ain't even seen a picture yet. All they know is they be talking with their fingers. And he be writing and she be writing and haven't seen each other. But the information, see, in other words, they're not just talking with words. But even though they're not dealing with sight, the effect of the word, I'm going somewhere. The effect of the word coming across the screen is so impactful. Why? Because they're not only getting information, they're learning about the other person with the information that they're getting, and that produces sight unseen, a relationship simply by the word. Now, if you can establish a love affair with another human being using a piece of technology that only has words, how much more can you develop a relationship using the living word of God with the unseen God whom you have never seen? Because the word is not for the facts, it's for the relationship. So now that changes how you learn what you learn. A law book is nice, but when you're in trouble, you need a lawyer. A medical book is nice, but when you're sick, you need a doctor. A menu is nice, but when you're hungry, you need a waiter. All that information is fine, but when I'm hungry or when I have a need, I need something or someone who is the embodiment of the information that I just learned about. One, because I don't understand it all. If I'm in a restaurant, sometimes the waiter has to explain what's in this. If I'm at a doctor's office, he's going to have to explain some of the terms, and there are too many laws for me to keep up with. But when I have a professional who also knows the book, then I can know the book but trust the professional, because I now, when I have a need, don't need just the book. I need someone. Grow in grace and the knowledge. I had my car now for almost 2 years. I have never yet once read the book. Here's the book. I've never read it. That's because I'm a basic driver. I'm a basic driver. I get in, I turn it on, I hit the accelerator. Zoom. Okay? I go from point A to point B. That's it. I have never read the book. But I was at the dealership the other day, and the dealer, who knew the book, began to show me stuff on the car that I never knew was there. For example, this was a little while ago, but it's an example. I would always open up when I had to use the car phone, open up the thing, pull out the deal, dial, try to keep from having an accident. He said, Sir, let me show you how to use your steering wheel to do the dialing. You never have to open this up again. We can all program this in, and without budging, you can do. You don't have to pick this up. There is a built-in speaker here. He went on and on and on. I am discovering it would be in my best interest to read the book. But I'm not going to read the book and memorize passages in the car book. I'm going to read the book so I can see all the good graces that have been built into it that are for my usage, so that I can enjoy the vehicle better. Don't ask me to quote page 3, line 3 of my car book, because that's not why I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it so I can benefit from all that it has. You know, when God gave you your new nature, all your growth factors were built in. A baby doesn't have to go looking for growth. It's all built into its nature. It's all built into what it is. It will just grow. If it just eats right, it is going to grow. Everything you need to become a spiritual adult was built into your new nature. So a lot of folk are going out looking for solutions that are in their nature. It's already built in, but because the nature hasn't grown, you're going to look for artificial solutions to that which are already in your nature. It's already built in. Jesus had a lot of disciples on a lot of different levels. He had the 500. They saw him before he ascended. Then he had the 70 disciples that he sent out two by two. Then he had the 12 disciples that we all know about. But then among the 12, he had three close buddies, Peter, James, and John. They were the three disciples. But then of the three, he had the number one, the disciple whom he loved. And that disciple was John, John who wrote St. John. And do you know how John is described in the book of John? As the disciple who leaned on Jesus' breast. They may have all had the same information, and they certainly had the same instruction, but John had a different relationship. So he got more secrets. Because he was real close. Jesus could just whisper. Pss, pss, pss. He could whisper in his ear because they were close. God has so much to give you, so much to show you, but your nature has to be fed with the milk of the word, with a goal to a relationship which will transition it to meat. Now watch this. Hebrews says, you know you're growing. He says, here's how you know you're growing. You know you're growing when you're not looking to everybody else. You can get it directly from God yourself. And he says, you know you're growing because he says, when you ought to be teachers helping somebody else, you're still a student, only looking to be helped by somebody else. He says, you're mature when you can cut your own meat and then feed somebody else because you got some babies to take care of yourself. If you still can't cut your meat and you're 30 years old, you may be old, but you ain't mature. He says it's time to eat because the new nature demands to be fed with the milk of the word. I'm sure many of you have mothers like I did. My mother thought castor oil was the medicine for everything. Ma, I got a stomach ache. Bring the castor oil. Ma, I got a headache. Bring the castor oil. Ma, I got a hanged toenail. Bring the castor oil. You know why? Because that was this view. Castor oil could fix anything. Anybody have a mama like that? Look, let me explain something about castor oil. Yeah, I didn't prefer it. I didn't prefer castor oil. I didn't like the way castor oil tasted. Later on, they add some little syrup in it to make it nicer. But that was nasty stuff to me. I said, Mama, I don't want no castor oil. She said, boy, put this castor oil in your mouth because it's good for you. She said, castor oil will fix anything. It is sufficient for whatever ails you. Well, God says about his word, you got a messed up mind? Drink it. You got a messed up heart? Drink it. You got messed up circumstances? Drink it. You got messed up attitudes? Drink it. You got messed up actions? Drink it. Why? Because it can take care of anything. It's sufficient for whatever lack is there in your life, in your heart. But what good is medicine that you don't take? What good is food that you don't eat? I told you this, I'll close with this. When the kids were small, we'd always take them home to Baltimore to see the grandparents. And my mother would fix the meal and, of course, fried chicken, potato salad, green beans, cornbread, her unique iced tea, and we'd be there eating. And then my mother would cook some unholy vegetable. Squash. Or its cousin, okra. I hate that stuff. I haven't tasted squash or okra that is acceptable yet. Just hate it. So I'm sitting there with the family. So they pass the squash around. Of course, I pass it on. I don't want no squash. But my mama would see me passing on. She said, boy, whenever my mama says, boy, we got a problem. She said, boy, what you doing? I said, Mama, I don't want squash. I don't like squash. I'm 53 years old. And I don't want squash, Mom. My mother said, well, yeah, you're right, you know, you're right. You're 53. In my house. My mother would then take the bowl of squash, take a spoon, and like I was 5 years old or something, start putting it in my plate for me with my kids watching. My kids be going, she'd be putting all that. In fact, she would put more squash in my plate than I would have put it in my plate if I'd have just gone ahead and put it in my plate. And then after all that, she'd look at me and say, it's good for you. Sometimes you're going to like it, and sometimes you're not. Sometimes it's going to be sweet, and sometimes it's going to taste nasty because it's not what you want to hear at the time. But if you will drink the pure milk of the word and graduate to the meat of the word, you will discover it's good for you because you will discover you're going to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.